probably heard a lot of people say, I'm a follower of Jesus, or I'm a Christian. What does that really mean? And how do you know for sure you're really following Jesus? You want an answer to that? Stay with me. That's today.
Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international teaching and discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy. You know, if we went out and asked 10 people what it means to follow Jesus, we'd likely get 10 different answers. Today, Chip goes right to the source and explores what Jesus said it means to follow him. Well, just before we get started, let me encourage you to try using Chip's message notes while you listen. They're a quick download when you go to livingontheedge.org and click Listen Now or tap Fill in Notes on the app. Well, let's jump in and join Chip for his message from John chapter 9.
John chapter 9 opens with the story of a blind man. And very instructively, he's blind from birth. And we know it's not his fault or its parents' fault, but it's a very special miracle because God will be glorified. As you read later in that story, you'll find that some people can't even believe it's the same man. They even bring his parents in and they testify. They cross-examine him twice because they think maybe he's lying. And at the heart of it is, Jesus opens his eyes and does a messianic miracle. Now, you'll never understand the real meaning of that man who was blind until you go back to chapter 8 and find out that it came after the most intense and unique conflict up to date that we find in Jesus' life. That, I mean, there was a point in time where they were ready to kill him. They were ready to stone him. He's going to say something about himself. They're going to have this dialogue, this debate, where the issues of his calling and his claims against the religious establishment will be so intense that they will be blind. And what you just listened to is Jesus helping them understand. There's some people in the world that are physically blind, and he can make them see. And there's some people he can see, and they think they're not blind, but they are. I'm going to ask you to open up your notes, because we're going to talk about what it means, what it really means to follow Jesus. And I'm going to suggest, as we kind of get our arms around that, that everybody in life, everybody follows something or someone. I mean, some people are very, intentional about it, very conscious. Other people are very unconscious, but they just don't know that they're following someone. There's probably 100 different ways people follow things, but I put a 6 down here that I just see if these don't ring a bell with you. Some people follow in the footsteps of their family. I know a family that if you're born in this family, son, grandson, if you're born in this family, kind of the personal light is you go into this family business, you go to this college, you will live geographically near mom, dad, grandfather, great-grandfather. The whole world revolves around. Christmases are always at this house. Thanksgiving are all, everything in the world revolves around the family. That's kind of their light. That's what gives them perspective. That's what really matters more than anything else. A second is some people follow a philosophy of life. I have a friend who is an excellent businessman, and I'm always talking to him about, have you been reading the Bible much? I haven't been reading it not as much as I know you want me to. And, intimacy with God, I'll talk with him about that. He goes, look, Chip, here's my philosophy, the golden rule. I just do to other people the way I want them to do to me. And he does. He's got more integrity than like anyone I've ever met. He's kind, he's generous. But his is sort of like, you just follow that rule. And I have another friend from my days in Santa Cruz, and his entire philosophy of life, we talked deeply on a lot of occasions, was one word. I said, so what do you want to do? Whatever. I'm dead serious. Just whatever. What do you mean, whatever? He says, whatever. Just kind of go with the flow, and whatever happens, and I'm just going to kind of. Third is I find some people follow a religious leader or a spiritual path. It's the Dalai Lama or this New Age teacher or someone with some enlightened way. And if they follow that path, what light always promises is direction, perspective, and it's going to deliver the life that you really want. Fourth is some people follow their own intuition. They're sort of eclectic. They sort of just pull from the salad bar of philosophy and life and parents and family and say, basically, I got it. You know, I'm just going to figure out, I think I know best what's best for me. And you ask them, well, what do you base that on? Well, me. My intuition, in my gut, that's good for you, whatever that is, whatever it is with anyone, this is what I think is best. Fifth, some people just follow what's popular. I mean, if everyone's kids are doing this, their kids doing this. If they start the kids at this age or this age, that's what they do. If the internet and everyone says, you know, this is what you need to eat, they all eat that. I mean, whatever the fads, wherever the, you know, they just follow the crowd. And whatever is kind of popular, they just sort of have a world that is like retweet, you know? And finally, there's some who follow what I just call a formula for success. This is how I grew up. And it goes something like this. Education is paramount. Work hard. Practice. Get discipline. Be an overachiever. Overprepare. Get in the best schools. Get a good paying job. And wealth and success will make you very happy. And so in each one of these, here's all I want to say, is that all of us, I call this people's personal light. This is their perspective that, even if they don't know it, this is their perspective that light promises fulfillment. Light promises living this way, provides values, a process, a filter, an interpretation. And so they're on a path following one of these, or maybe 10 or 15 or 30 others. And so I thought it'd be kind of fun, since we all follow something or someone, to just probe a little bit together and find out what you follow and what I follow. And so I have three questions for you. You ready? If you have a pen, pull it out. Question number one is, who or what do you think you follow? I mean, if I really kind of pushed you, and just first thing that comes to your mind, who or what do you think you really follow? That is kind of the direction for my life, decisions, what really matters, why I say yes, why I say no, okay? The second question, and I'm messing with you here just a little bit, but it's because I care. Who or what does your time, money, and energy reveal you follow? Because see, I have this weird thing that happens is mentally, and I think I'm being honest, this is what I think I follow. It's really important. But when I look at my time or my energy or my money, or for some, if we just looked at, you know, sort of your whole, who are the people that you follow on Twitter? If we could go through all the buttons that you pushed like or whatever you retweeted, who do you follow? Or which of the TED Talks are like your top five? Right? I mean, doesn't it say on our little devices everywhere, follow, you can follow us by this? I mean, that tells a lot about what we're interested in, where our passions are. So my time and my money really reveal who I really follow instead of who I think I follow. And the last question is, why would anyone follow Jesus Christ? Why would anyone? Because he's called, what did he say? If any man will follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Why should we? Why should they? And in John chapter 8, beginning at verse 12, he answers that question. But he answers it for them, and he really answers it for us. So what you see is a context in which he says some very radical things. Then you have some content, which is a fierce debate. And then it comes to a climax. Here's the context. In other words, here's what's happening. This is sort of the you are there, so you can get what's happening. Remember, there's the Feast of Tabernacles. People have been camping out. They've made these little lean-tos, and they're all over the place on top of houses, and, you know, kids think it's camping out. There's all this food. There's all these parties. There's all this dancing. There's remembering all those 40 years in the wilderness. It's just great. And then there's the Feast of Tabernacles. It's also called the Feast of Lights. And so there's this whole section called the Women's Court where the treasury is. And then next to it is the temple area. It's called the Holy Place where the actual sacrifices and things are brought in. And then there's the Holy of Holies. And so Jesus, after the Feast of Lights, and if you remember that in this area, this courtyard is quite large, there were like four candelabras that were like 75 to 100 and some feet that were just huge with this light. And it would remind them of Remember when the children of Israel, the light, the fire above, and it would move, then they would move in the cloud by day? And so Jesus has said, you know, the water out of the rock, that's me. And now he says, literally, grammatically, he says, I am, in the emphatic position, the light of the world, not a light. I am the light of the world. If any man, if anyone follows me, you'll never walk in darkness, but you will have or possess the light of life. I mean, it's radical. So they've been thinking about all of God's history. It's in the very place where all these big candelabras were with the lights. It's all over, and he comes out at dawn. We've already seen the scene with the woman caught in adultery, and then he makes this outrageous statement. It's a promise. It's a declaration. I am. You want to follow someone? I am the light of the world. Promise. If you follow me, and by the way, it's a present participle. If you continue to follow me, you will never walk in darkness, but instead you'll have the light of life. Now, in about 6 months, he's going to go to the cross. A lot of times he's done lots of ministry in rural areas, and a lot of times he heals someone or does a miracle and says, please don't tell anybody. I mean, would you just please just like go to the priest and get this taken care of? Because every time you tell someone, thousands of people make my life impossible to continue my ministry. But he's done with sort of the secret messiahship. He is now in Jerusalem at the place of the tabernacle. He's going public and he's declared, I'm the light of the world. Now the Pharisees are like going nuts. And the religious leaders now are going to say, wait a second. The Jewish law says that the testimony of one person is invalid. We need the testimony of two. So now they're going to go into this big debate about why, in fact, what he's saying can't be true. Jesus answered, even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I'm going. But you have no idea where I came from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one, but if I do judge, my judgments are right, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the one who sent me, the Father. He's speaking of God the Father. Then they ask him, where's your Father? And by the way, this is probably a dig. There was many rumors about Jesus. By now, they're trying to cut him down every way possible. And the rumors are he's the bastard son of Mary who got pregnant by someone else before she married Joseph. Where's your father? I mean, your real father. And Jesus responds, you do not know my father. If you knew me, you would know my father also. He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area, in the place where the offerings were put, where we just described. Yet no one seized him because his time had not yet come. Now, verse 21, there's a shift. In verse 21, he said, look, I have credibility. I have two witnesses. There's me. There's the Father. You guys, we've been through a lot. You don't have a clue of who I really am. And that's why you have no spiritual perception. And now he's going to take it to the next level. And notice in your notes, the next section, he warns of the consequences of unbelief. I mean, he's going to be very direct and say to them, the consequences of your continued unbelief, you won't even look at the facts. He said, if you don't believe my words, at least believe the works of the miracles that I've done. He's going to say in this section that because of their unbelief, they'll die in their sin. He's going to say that the only time they'll ever realize who he really was is after the cross and the resurrection. And then you're going to notice in the very last verse, there's one group of people who actually believe. Because there's about 15 of these steps that lead up. And the Levites, they would come and they would say a psalm on each step. And it was, you know, a lot of pageantry in those feasts. Well, now it was dawn. And so you got a crowd of people listening to him. And then you have this group who's really wanting to kill him and get rid of him. And so you've got this mixed group. And now he's talking to the religious leaders. But a lot of people are listening in going, whoa. I mean, this would be heated. Don't think like a presidential debate. With the senator from Illinois, you have 2.4 minutes. Would you like to make a statement? Thank you very much. Yeah, but now the next question goes to, this is vein popping. If you've ever been to Israel or downtown New York, right? And you watch culturally Jewish people talk to one another when they're kind of ticked off and pretty animated. I mean, when they're not ticked off and not animated. Hey, can I get that cab? Sure, man, it's all yours, you know, right? And this is what's going on. I mean, this is intensity with a capital I. So here's what happens. Notice verse 21. Once more, Jesus said to them, I'm going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. I mean, that's pretty radical. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says where he goes, we can't come? But he continued. Now he's trying to help them see, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I'm not of this world. I told you, he's just reminding him, he's being direct, he's being clear. I told you that you would die in your sins if you will not believe that I am the one I claim to be. You will indeed die in your sins. Who are you, they ask. Just what I've been claiming to be all along, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you. But he who sent me is reliable, and what I've heard from him I tell the world. They didn't understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, when you've lifted up, John always uses this phrase for the cross and the resurrection later, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know who I am. And I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. And then this little sidebar, even as he spoke, many people put their faith in him. Now, it's interesting because if you can imagine this crowd, it seems now he takes his attention and speaks to those people who've believed in him. And we're not sure whether they have partial belief or they have full belief or whether he's the Messiah, but he's going to now say, look, let me give you the acid test of discipleship. If you really want to be a follower, this isn't just an intellectual belief. And so there's this mixed group of, you know, there's a hostility and debate going over here. There's people that have believed over here. And so verse 31, almost through the end of the chapter, I want to tell you in advance what he's going to say, because as I read it, I want you to catch it. First thing he's going to say is that if you obey my word, it will result in freedom. He's going to talk about the acid test of discipleship is you have to obey my word. This isn't intellectually believing something about me. This is about relational and obedience. Second, he's going to say, if you love me, and by the way, don't think of love as just a ooey-gooey feeling, but if you love me, have very personal alignment, if I am your light and the alignment of your life, then the result is you'll hear God's voice. You'll be able to hear God speaking to you. And the third thing he's going to teach him is that if you keep my word, you'll never die. If you keep my word. And so he's going to say the acid test of discipleship hasn't to do with just an intellectual belief, but it will be a belief that leads to a following where the focus of your life centers around this man who now claims to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and later, one with the Father.
Chip will be back in a minute, but if you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Chip's message today is from Follow, Volume 2 of his series, Jesus Unfiltered. Follow explores what Jesus meant when he said to his disciples, follow me. Those two words have changed the lives of countless millions over the centuries, and you can experience that same life-changing power. Now, if that's an idea you'd like to pursue, listening to this teaching again will help you get there. Now, to do that or to share this series with a friend, it's easy on the app. If you're a radio or podcast listener, just visit us online at livingontheedge.org or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. We'd love to get this resource in your hands. Well, Chip, your teaching today really gave us a picture of Jesus, well, not being very meek or mild. And it's not like the Pharisees weren't trying. They were trying extra hard and very seriously, just not in truth. So they were way off the mark.
Yeah, Dave, I think that is so true. I mean, this is very strong, clear teaching from Jesus himself. And at times I feel overwhelmed and I get convicted and I realize I'm trying and trying and trying in some areas, and then I just feel stuck.
Well, I want you to know I developed a habit about 30 years ago. When I would get stuck, what I realized was I was believing lies, or I'd have struggles that continued over and over and over, and I needed to attack the lies, not just my behavior or my emotions. And so I came up with these cards, and we call them the Jesus Unfiltered Truth Cards. For example, I get frustrated when people interrupt my schedule, when they cut in front of me, because down deep what I believe is my stuff, my time, and me is more important than other people. Now, that's hard to actually admit. So what I wrote on the card is, I get frustrated and angry when people interrupt my life, ... And then I write on the bottom, stop. Then I flip the card over, and from John 13, Jesus says, if I, being your Lord and Master, serve you, blessed are you when you do this for one another. And so what I realize is that blessedness comes from service. But instead of trying hard and beating myself up, these truth cards, I read them over in the morning, I read them over at night, I identify a few lies, and then I get the truth. And so we've made these up for you, and let me tell you, it has radically changed my life. The Jesus Unfiltered Truth Cards are available to you. Love to put them in your hands, because transformation doesn't happen by trying hard. Transformation happens by renewing our minds.
Thanks, Chip. Well, the Jesus Unfiltered Truth Cards are available now while supplies last when you tap special offers or go to our website, livingontheedge.org. They're a set of 21 cards, like the ones Chip uses. Each card has a common lie or spiritual battle we all face. And on the flip side, it has a passage from the Gospel of John to help you renew your mind with the truth. Now, whether they're for you or someone else, order your set of Jesus Unfiltered Truth Cards and get free shipping by calling us at 1-888-333-6003, tapping special offers, or ordering online at livingontheedge.org. Well, now here's Chip with his application.
Thanks, Dave. You know, as I started the teaching out today, I said that everyone, whether we're conscious of it or not, we follow something or someone. I mean, the wisest man in the world said, there is a way, literally, there is a path that every person is on that seems right to them. You know, I think when Jesus was speaking to these Pharisees and was telling them the truth and who he was and sharing the opportunity and what they could have, I think some of them, I think they thought, wow, could all of my thinking about God be wrong? I think others probably just said, you know, this young rabbi, what's he know? And, you know, we went to the official schools and, you know, we're the people that had the truth. And, you know, there's some people that after that encounter with Jesus, their life changed, not just for the better, but eternally. They responded to the truth. They came to the point and they said, you know, this path is bringing me death. And you know, it takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of courage to admit the path you're on is wrong. You know, one of the things I ask people in sort of private counseling moments is, do you like your life? And many will say, no, not at all. You know, this path of how I'm living, how I'm working, in my singleness, how I'm treating my wife, this path of how I'm treating my kids, this path of what I'm putting into my mind, what I'm putting into my body, this path is bringing me death. And what I want you to know today, there's a path, and the path is Jesus, and you don't have to live the same way. Could I encourage you to just read the book of John with eyes open and heart open and say, Lord, reveal yourself to me in a fresh way. There's a new path, and it's the path of life. Take it.
Well, just before we close, I want to thank each of you who's making this broadcast possible through your generous giving. 100% of your gifts are going directly to the ministry to help Christians really live like Christians. Now, if you found Chip's teaching helpful, but you're not yet on the team, would you consider joining today? To give a gift today, just tap the donate button or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. If you prefer to give online, you can donate securely by going to livingontheedge.org. Thanks in advance for following God's lead. Well, be sure to join us again next time when Chip continues his current series. Until then, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.